Today, I have the honor of introducing my 45-year-old longtime friend. And he's been here before. Many of you have heard him before. He's always lifted us up through the Word of the God and through the Spirit that's alive in him. And I have a gazillion memories I'd love to share with you with the life we've had together. For we lived together in a duplex house. We had children at the same time. They're still best friends together. We've been in ministry together. We got saved together. It's incredible. So with that in mind, I'd like to introduce Reverend Dave Walker.
Well, it's definitely been a journey, a wonderful journey. We lived here in Auburn 47 years before it became the entertainment capital of Geauga County. Now the corner of 44 and 422 has breweries and, just all kinds of, it's a kind of a cultural revival up at the corner. When we moved here, of course, it was all dirt roads and farmers, and there was one restaurant up at the corner there. It has burned down since, but it was a meeting place for all the farmers. And I had moved from Cleveland Heights. I lived in a basement apartment with my girlfriend at the time and our child, and we came out here to move back to the land. It was a big move. And like Maury said, it was the Jesus Revolution. 1979, and it was just a cultural revival, really. It really was culturally, this is not my first cultural revolution, because we're actually going through, cultural change right now. And it was an interesting cultural change at the time. It seemed a little softer and gentler than the one we're going through presently. But there will be casualties. But there will be people who come to know the Lord. I mean, that's when we went through that whole period of time of upheaval in our country with the anti-war movement of Vietnam. People were looking. People were hungry for peace, for joy, all the things that people want, all the things that, the corner is trying to provide for people. Food, beverage, music, to lift spirits, really, to lift spirits. It's man's attempt to lift people's spirits, because it's a difficult time. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's a very difficult time, all the change, and especially if you're older. It can be very challenging to remain loving, to remain graceful, merciful. I think of New Hope. New Hope, your sign out front expressing new hope every morning. And sometimes you just don't get that from the morning news. But we can have that new hope in our hearts. We can carry that new hope in our hearts. And as this area continues to grow, people are going to go by that sign. And I believe it's going to just increase for you, or of people who are hungry for more. We were definitely hungry for more. We went through that. This country has been through a number of cultural revolutions. The Roaring Twenties was a cultural revolution. a change of values. And the 1960s and 70s, a cultural revolution where we wanted more. We wanted more love, more joy, more peace. It was a peace movement. And many know that it's hard for man to provide peace. Very hard. That's why we have North Korea and South Korea. That's why we have North Vietnam and South Vietnam. That's why we have the Ukraine and Russia. That's why we have Israel and Palestine. Because man cannot seem to find peace. He can't make peace. He has the desire. I mean, I have the t-shirt, folks. You know, peace on earth. Peace on earth. Might have told you the story. Back in the late 60s, I was in West Virginia, in the mountains of West Virginia, visiting my friend's grandparents. And they lived in Camp Creek, Virginia, or West Virginia. And, of course, we went into town and were looking for rolling papers at the time. And and I had this peace t-shirt on, you know, with the broken cross, the peace t-shirt. And a lady came up to me and she said, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, it means peace, you know. It means the denial of Jesus Christ." And I was like taken back, you know, like, well, that was not my intent. You know, I mean, I was raised a good Catholic boy. I believed in Jesus, you know. But to cultural, in cultural differences, one thing means something to another, and as you well know, can separate us and divide it. And that really wasn't what Jesus had in mind. You know, in all my days, and there's 30,000 of them, 30,000 days, I looked it up on Google, 30,000 days, I've never seen an atmosphere of fear and division, hate and confusion like this one. Never. And hate is not okay. Hate is a deep ditch. If you decide to go down that ditch, it becomes very dark, very hopeless. And that's not what we're called to do. That's not where we're called to live on a daily basis. And Jesus says in John 14, 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives us." So Jesus is saying, you want a piece of me? Woo! You want a piece of me? He has something to offer us. Very valuable. And this word is not shalom. You know, that was the greeting of the time back in those days. Shalom, shalom, peace, peace. Meaning prosperity, health, good tidings to you. It was a greeting, and he purposely does not use that word. It's arene is this word. It's arene. And, you know, the thing about Jesus and his time, he always seems to know how to put a stick in the religious eye, you know. He always knows how to poke the religious spirit by using this word. He says, "Peace I leave with you." So I called his peace out discourse because he said he's going away. And it's a amazing metaphysical statement. You know, we get afraid of words like metaphysical. Is all metaphysical means is out of the physical, out of the physical realm. He is leaving and going out of the physical realm. And he says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives us." See, I already said the world has nothing really to offer. When I went through the peace movement in the 1960s and it turned into the drug culture of the 1970s and continues to be drugs in this country. I mean, at that time, they said they were going to eradicate them. You know, there was movements, political movements. Every administration was going to eradicate drugs. Have they? No. People are looking for peace in all the wrong places, just like I was. Trying to make peace in the natural when peace can only come in the supernatural. I was trying to do in my own strength what only God can do and desires to do. And Jesus is offering us this peace, this word arene. It's perfect rest and trust. Perfect rest and trust. You know, I love church. Maureen and I went to church so many years together, and it was always quite a ways from Auburn. There's nothing. We first started going to church at the basement of the bank in Tanglewood. There was a bank there. And a hippie preacher, Neil May, started a church there, and which attracted hippies, bikers, you know, roughnecks. People were looking for something deeper, something more, because I think they had become disillusioned by the peace movement of the 70s. Like I said, it turned into the drug culture. And it was marketed and sold back to us. Bell-bottom jeans, tie-dyed shirts, you know. So this country, a capitalist country, has a way of marketing stuff, you know, that's popular and selling it back to you. And the movement really loses its strength. It becomes something else. And so we were looking. But I love church because it brings me back to that center every week with people who are still hungry, still looking for peace, still looking for love. I mean, it's just people of like precious faith, a community that comes to the table like we sang this morning. You know, I love that wonderful communion song, just to come to the table together and partake of this living bread. It says, this peace, not as the world gives us. The world cannot give us peace. How many know that? It cannot give us the peace we need. Do I give to you? And here he says, let not your heart be troubled. Now, he says it twice, and we'll look at it in chapter 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I mean, he's going away. He's telling his disciples, I'm going away. How could that be better? You know, they spent 3 years with Jesus doing miracles, loving people. I mean, it was a movement. See, the Holy Spirit is a movement. It's a movement. It's not a theological movement. It's a movement of love. That's what the Holy Spirit is. We turn it into a theological debate rather than a movement. And I believe God's moving again, and trying to convert his church to kindness. He's trying to convert the church to kindness, a revival of his kindness. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. I have never seen an atmosphere, like I said, of fear. I mean, I generally preach once a month because I'm retired at our church. And between the time I preach, something seems to happen between that time that I never saw coming. Who saw the smoke coming? I didn't see that coming, folks. You know, I mean, I got a half a lung and respiratory problems, you know. It's hard. How would I prepare for that? And just the mass shootings, all these things that happen within a month, we're subjected to, and we're faced with of how to respond, not react. It's easy to react, anger, frustration, fear, but that's what God is not calling us to react. He's calling us to be first responders. You know, when the first responders ran into the buildings in 9/11, they didn't run through and say, is this one a Christian? Is this one a believer? Is this one Jewish? Is this one gay? Is this one a Muslim? No, they came to save lives. We have to drop our labels and know that people need their lives saved. They need a kinder, gentler church. A church. We become afraid of what we don't understand. And Jesus is telling you, don't be afraid. I want to give you perfect peace. See, this word eirene means to be set at one again. Not shalom, eirene. To be set at one again. We're not separated from God. He has set us with God. We're not trying to please God. God is pleased with us. God loves us. That's why, you know, I always say, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And we're trying to do it through performance when He has already demonstrated His love towards us. As we sang about the blood this morning, He's already demonstrated His love towards us while we were yet sinners. Oh, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. What? In a different form. Totally metaphysical. I'm coming back to you in the spirit, not in the physical, and it's going to be better. It's going to be better. We have that spirit. We have that same spirit. If you love me, you would rejoice because I am going to the Father and my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, but that when it does come to pass, you may believe. There's a strength available to us to love at a level that we've never loved at. That He's calling us to love at this present time. That's why I'm still alive. That's why Maury is still alive. I mean, I could have died 5 years ago. Maury could have died a couple times. But he's here to love at a level like he's never loved at before through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in our own strength. We'll never do it in our own strength. We'll never be able to do this. Not as the world loves. Not as religion loves, not as a religious system loves, but as God loves. So it says over in Ephesians 2, verse 14, for He Himself is our peace. He Himself is our eirene. He is the one that has connected it to God and to one another. We don't do it in our own strength. We don't connect with people outside of our circle usually. We don't connect with people we don't understand. But here He says, He is ourself, an ability to connect. It says, He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished or demolished barriers between us. There's no barriers between us, only the ones we set up. Republican, Democrat. Those are the ones, the labels that we set up that separate us rather than unite us. And it's disturbing. It's just disturbing to watch Christians move like that. Having demolished or abolished, rendered powerless, put an end to, do away with, separation, any separation that we might feel intimidated by, having abolished in His flesh the enmity or the judgment and restored us to harmonious relationship. Think about your marriage, first off. There's no separation. When we get married, we're committed one to another, and we restore to harmonious relationship. That's our song and our melody. That's our song. Oh, don't you feel it when you sing with a group of Christians? Oh, you feel that unity, that oneness. Every movement has had a song. Civil rights movement, all these movements have songs to bring together in unity, to abolish separation. God does not want us separated from one another. No walls, no barriers, no separation. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the judgment that is the law and commandments. See, the law brought separation. Not the new covenant. The new covenant brings unity and oneness. Brings us together to one new man. One new man. It says, contain an ordinance so as to create in himself one new man. One new man. That's what he's looking for. A new species of individual that can love at a level like we've never loved before. Without prejudice, without anger, without frustration. That's the goal. That's the mark. Have I achieved it? Absolutely not. I'm amazed how far I am from it sometimes, even in my own marriage. How testy I can get, how angry I can get, how frustrated I can get, how I want my own way. That's not God, folks. That's not God. One new man from two, thus making peace. That's God's peace. Thus making peace. He wants first responders, people who know how to respond. It says, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body. How many denominations? Maury knows how many denominations are out there. He's told me how many, 400 or so denominations. You know, how many? 43,000. Who created that? Man, separation, how they interpret, just alone the charismatic movement. We make it about tongues and we make it about all these different things. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about a movement of love. When the day of Pentecost came, there was a movement of love that they heard everyone speak in their own language. See, we have to understand that. A lot of times, people out there don't like our Christian language. Are you saved? It's an indictment. Not words of love. We know it's a good word. I got saved July 17th, 1979. Never forget it. Changed my whole life. But we're in a whole new culture. How do we speak to the culture? How do we represent Jesus to the culture? In the Jesus Revolution, it was brought to our level, and I was loved at a level as a dirty hippie, with long hair like I've never been loved before in my life. Love never fails. Abolishing enmity. Oh, it says, in one body through the cross, putting to death hostility, that word. Enmity or hostility. Hostility. God's not hostile. God's not mad. He's bigger than that. It says, and he came and preached peace, arene, to you. Oneness, unity. We can live together. We can love one another. We can. Who were afar off and to those who are near, and through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. One Holy Spirit. Now therefore you are no longer strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. No longer homeless. No longer aliens. No longer wanderers. Fellow members in intimate relationship with God. Intimate relationship with the Father. This is another stick Every time he uses the word father to the religious Jews, it's a stick in their eye because they never understood that kind of intimacy with God. They felt there were barriers. They had to make sacrifices. They had to keep hundreds of ordinances, not just Ten Commandments, but man-made ordinances of diet, dress, to get to God. Jesus did it for us. Jesus took down every wall, every barrier. God couldn't live without us. He wanted us so bad. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my only begotten the most love so that you can be united together in oneness. That's our mission. Oh, man promises peace, but it's a lie. It's a distraction. All the information become a distraction against what God's original intent really is to do. We get distracted. And we start following different ways that aren't his way. One new man, mankind, a brand new species of man, a God-man, new hope for mankind every day. New hope for mankind every day. When you go to the corner, you have to see people like that. New hope for that person, this person. Our peace is restored. Go back to John 4. I'm going to go back to John 4, 14, 15. Here it is. Let not your heart be troubled. These were troubled times, folks. I think, you know, the Romans were in occupation. And I think it pales. We think we're in tough times. I think it was a little tougher there. A little tougher. Christians were being persecuted, using as live torches for banquets that those in power, people were under arrest, people being arrested, killed, all those kind of things were going on. And he says, what a statement. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, that's my statement to you this morning. Because I can go there myself. I can feel troubled when I see things building in a certain region. When I watch about the Ukraine, it troubles me. It all troubles me. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe in me also. I came that you might be one. I came that you might think as I think. In unity with me, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. It says, in my Father's house. That was such a stick in their eye, the religious. They don't want intimacy. God's over here, I'm over here. There's a barrier between us. Maybe if I'm good enough, I read my Bible enough, maybe if I do this, I tithe, I do this, I can get to God someday. No, he's in us. I will give you another helper, one called alongside to help, the Spirit of Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory in you. Oh my gosh, God's not out there somewhere. God, the Holy Spirit's in us to accomplish this, to help us do what we can never do in our own flesh, what we can never do in our own strength. In my Father's house are many mansions or room for everyone. Look it up, room for everyone. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I will not leave you orphans. There's no orphans in the kingdom. I will not leave you orphans. Oh, fatherless. I will not leave you, reject you. Oh, you don't have to have an identity crisis. I love you. I love you. I have an ability with people to see them through the worst. I have watched people who wouldn't even say that they're Christians, okay, go through the worst times and survive because of God's grace. And God doesn't even care if they know. He just pours out his grace on them. Haven't you? Haven't you watched people lose children, spouses, accidents, fire. They haven't professed to be Christians, but they get through somehow, and it's by the grace of God. And he says, I don't even need the glory. I just love them. I love them. I love them. I've never stopped loving them. I want to be close to them. I want to be closer to them than I've ever been in my whole life. I don't want to be estranged from them. And what's our job? To help them. Oh, to see someone totally different than you, a sinner, an adulterer, a thief, a leper, and connect with them and show them the love to win their hearts without judgment, condemnation given to you by the Spirit. That's what he calls us to do. That's what we have to put aside our judgment, our condemnation, our hatred. We have to put it aside to complete the call that God wants on our life in this hour, like never before. I'm alive at this hour. I want to live to 80. I'm 78 now. That gives me 2 years to just love people like I've never loved them before. Because I know I don't love them enough. Not like Jesus loved. He's the one that helped the adulteresses. He's the one that prayed for the lepers, the thieves. He's the one that helped them. He's the one that connected with the lowest, to win their hearts. This is not theology. It's a movement, a revival of the Father's love. People keep praying for revival. Oh, we're praying for a revival. Why? Because they want everyone to look like us. Not everyone wants to look like us, okay? But God wants them to love like us. See, we can be that witness of love that makes it irresistible. The way people loved me when I was unlovable changed my heart. Changed my heart totally. They didn't tell me to quit smoking. Living with my girlfriend, who's now my wife. They didn't tell me I had to do that. They just loved me where I was at. They gave me time to change because they know that love wins. Love never fails. Love is the only way. My ability to love somebody out of my comfort zone. I want you to think, is there anybody that you struggle to love that's out of your comfort zone? Woo! Woo! See, we have to look at people as one new man. Not black, white, gay, straight, you know, all the labels. Republican, Democrat. God doesn't see labels. He's one new man. That's the potential. Loving him, worshiping him. Oh, you know, my ability to love somebody out of my comfort zone, someone that hates me and even wants to kill me. Now, I'm not telling you not you can't protect yourself or your family. I'm not telling you that. But what's your first response? If we need to be first responders and our heart is full of love, is it to kill someone or to love them? To tell them about Christ? To tell them what God has done? He's not looking for reactions. We all can react. Oh, that's gross. That's awful. Oh, my gosh. We can all go around doing that. That's easy, especially for old guys, okay? I never saw that before, you know. God's not shocked. God's not surprised. I'm not saying he's pleased with it. I'm just thinking he's an answer for it. And the answer is in us. The answer resides in us. Oh, it says, I give it to you to bring healing to those around us. That's outrageous, isn't it? That's just out. Dave, that's outrageous. Well, if it wasn't out there, he wouldn't ask you to do it. It was simple. He wouldn't give you a helper, one supernatural ability to do what we can't do in our own strength, in the flesh, in our soulish realm. This is spiritual. Yes, it's outside of our own ability, but that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do this in our own strength. What's he say over here? I will give you a helper. I will give you a helper, one called alongside to help you. That's what he's called us to do, to help us. And if I'm not leading in love, outrageous love, I'm not a leader. I'm just not. If I'm leading you to something else, I'm not a leader. I'm supposed to lead you in outrageous love, above and beyond what you can even ask or think. We're talking spiritual here. We're not talking natural. We're not talking temporal. We're talking eternity. We're talking eternity. What we are called to be out front of the world in love, grace, and mercy. Way out front. We have the lover. We have the great love. My great love. God is my great love. I love to refer to him as my great love. My great love. Jesus, the lover of my soul, my friend, the Holy Spirit, the one who empowers us to love at a level like we never thought we could love before. Oh, I can't love them. I can't love them. I know you can't. You need the power of God to break through those barriers. If you're even going to the grocery store, I can't stop myself from walking up to people and talking to them and telling them how good they look. You know, I mean, we need to break down those barriers. Break down all those barriers. This is the peace that passes all understanding. You don't get it in the natural. It's in the spiritual. And I love it. I was created for this. Oh, I was created this. I'm alive at this time to do this, whether I do it in the pulpit or I give sermons or whatever. If that doesn't happen, I am still called to go out there and live it, to live it and do it. In Hebrews 12:29, we'll close and ask the worship team to come back. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. If you're in the soulish realm, you see it as judgment. I don't see it as judgment anymore. I see it as love. That's how I see it. God has flipped everything on me. You know, when you go through a life-changing circumstance, you change your thought process. I got so much time here, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? How am I going to live? God, help me. Help me be the most affected, loving person I can possibly be, the most gracious man on the planet. I want on my tombstone, which I probably won't have, he was gracious. He was gracious. Our God is a consuming fire, not the fire of God's anger, the fire of God's love. That's what I want to experience. That's what I want people around me to experience, the fire of God's love. Oh, Pastor, we need some more turn and burn sermons. That's a message. I'm not saying it's not a message, but it's not my message. It's not my message. I knew how bad I was. I needed a message of love, acceptance. I needed that kind of message that God loved me. God loved me. It says when we enter into communion with God, the iron placed in the fire takes on the quality, the iron takes on the quality of the fire and the heat and the light. So when we put ourselves in the understanding of the fire of God's love, we become that lover. We become that. If you put yourself in the fire of God's judgment, you become that. I'd rather become love in this hour because it's the only way. Love is the only way. Oh, we sing, your love is better than life. And we can't even wrap our heads around it. We can't even wrap our heads around it. It's so good. It's so wonderful. It's so immense. It's so everlasting. and it's new every single morning. Amen. Amen.